get it together. That's what I say to me. I put on the pressure. You could do better. Be who you're supposed to be. But that's when you came in, right when I needed you. You said all of the things that I was believing, not one of them were true. You lifted my head up, I was keeping my head down. I didn't know love, but I do now. 'Cause you stood right there, and then you broke apart the lies. You told me I had something beautiful inside. Not keeping score, not anymore. Not since you rescued me. You lifted my head up, I was keeping my head down. I didn't know love, but I do now. 'Cause you stood right there, and then you broke apart the lies. You told me I had something beautiful inside.
He's real. For I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Your voice, and in the midst of pain, let me feel your joy. Ooh, I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I speak a word, I will bring my heart and seek you.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it a great morning? All right, I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up, and you are welcome to come to the front. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we find our strength, Lord Jesus, in the joy of the Lord. And we get our joy through praising you, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you for who you are.
Be sure. Completely Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Jesus. God, you're the only one that matters today. Lord, we choose today to arrest every thought. We choose to arrest every emotion. God, we surrender them to you. Every problem, God, we lay on the altar this morning. Because we know this, Jesus, that when we're in your presence, there is the power and everything that we need. So, God, we don't let our problem become our God. We allow you to rise to the top, and you are the problem solver. So, Lord, today we just honor you and we worship you. And Jesus, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being in your presence. Lord, it amazes me to recognize that the one who said, let there be, is saying, I want you to be with me. God, today we honor you and we thank you for the privilege of being called sons and daughters of the Most High King. And today we thank you so much for your presence. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to continue to move over us. You brooded over the earth at creation. Brood over your people. God, we pray that today when we leave this place, Lord, the impartation, the nuggets, the principles will be established within our hearts. And Jesus will go to a whole new level, a whole new plane in you for the glory of God. And everybody said, I can't hear you. I said, everybody said, we love you. Make your way back to your chair this morning. We're not going to do meet and greet. So when you get to your chair, make sure you turn to three or four folks and say, I love you. I thank God that you're in his house. We have such a special guest this morning. As you're going back to your seats, my wife and I, Rhonda, my wife and I just want to say thank you. It's good to be back. I heard Pastor Obi hit a grand slam last week with Jesus. Amen. Last week in Mexico, we saw 516 people give their hearts to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Right here at the house, there were at least 15 to 18 people that gave their hearts to Jesus just last week, right here. I want you to know that our children's ministry is seeing souls saved every week and baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Amen. We are also excited. Our youth ministry is continuing to see God save kids. I think this week, Cody, how many kids gave their heart to the Lord? A whole stack of kids gave their hearts to Jesus, rededicated their lives to the Lord. And again, like I said, down in Mexico, 516 souls gave their hearts to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. You know, there are certain things. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Turn to someone and say, I think you're pretty smart this morning. With all your sowing and all your giving, just in that, let's just take that 1 week of Mexico and his tabernacle, over 530 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 week. That's exciting. I don't know about you, I like making hell scream. The Bible says hell's enlarged itself. Well, I think it's time to decrease it, and we did it last week. We're going to keep doing it, amen? So this morning, we have some announcements for you. We're going to show you them right now.
Hey, we got Harvest Fest coming up. It's October 31st right here at the church. It's a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing games indoors from 6 to 7, and then from 7 to 8, we're doing trunk or treat. So make sure you donate your candy. Also, bring your trunks, put some treats in them, and let's bless these kids. Again, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there.
Pastor Dan's just hoping he had a stomach like that.
Welcome. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. It is a glorious, warm October day today. We're so excited that you're here with us today. Is there anyone who is a guest this morning that you are with us for the very first time? We want to welcome you this morning. If you are a very first time guest, we ask that you raise your hand. We have a gift for you this morning.
I see fingers pointing back there in that section. Welcome. We're so happy to have you here with us this morning. We want to give you an opportunity, if you're a guest, to meet the pastors this morning. So right at the end of service, please join us for our guest reception. It's in the hallway over here to your right. And you'll get a chance to meet some of the staff and pastors this morning. We want to welcome our online campus this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You are brilliant for tuning in this morning. God bless you. We have a special guest, and this is so exciting. I have one special announcement for you today, because it's the most important one. The Word of God says that greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. And how many here can agree that our pastors have laid down their life for us? We are so thankful. And October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Next Sunday, please bring your tangible blessings to shower them with evidence of our appreciation of all they have done for us for almost 20 years. Praise God. So don't forget, pray about it. Bring a blessing for them next week. And Pastor Rhonda would like to receive the offering.
Good morning. I love this time of the service so much, where we can share on prosperity. This time of tithes and offerings is a time of learning prosperity. And you know what? I honestly believe it might be one of God's favorite parts of the service also, because His Word says in Proverbs 35 that He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. So He actually enjoys this portion thoroughly, where He gets to take pleasure in your prosperity. I want to read a passage of scripture to you this morning, Deuteronomy 8, 18. And it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth the power to get wealth." And I love that. I love that He gives us the power to get wealth. But listen to this, that he has given you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. So He gives you the power to gain wealth so that He can establish that covenant. That covenant that we quote every single week. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. It gives Him such pleasure when we prosper and when He's able to establish that covenant in our lives. I thank God I grew up in a church that taught about giving and tithes and offerings, because I've been able to be a tither and a giver of offerings every day of my life. I've been able to establish the covenant of God in my life, and that brings Him such pleasure. So it's my joy every week to be able to bring the message of prosperity to every single one of you in this house. So this morning, if you're ready to give and you've prepared your offering, because that passage in the beginning said, remember the Lord your God. When we are giving, we are remembering it's Him that gives us that power to gain wealth, and it gives Him the ability to establish His covenant, and that brings pleasure to the Father's heart. If you're ready, stand to your feet. We're going to make that supernatural declaration, and I want to hear you say it like you're prophesying it over your life, like we're going to break through this morning, and every word that comes out of your mouth. You know, it says when the Word of God goes forth, it accomplishes what it is sent to do. How many of you wanted to accomplish some stuff this morning in your life? Amen. All right, let's speak it like we know it's going to accomplish what it's sent to do. So repeat after me. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. Woo, I can feel that in the atmosphere. Come on. I am blessed in my storehouse. Chase me down. Lord, this morning.
The Lord, I'm so blessed that you're here today. You know, some of the things as being a pastor of a church, I want to remind you that there are gifts to the church. The Bible says that Jesus gave gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. We all have the same job, to equip, bring to unity, and to bring maturity. But the exciting part is the anointing that is released, the deposit that is released with each gift. Every Sunday, you get to have the gift of your pastor being released within the congregation. But what we love to do is be able to bring in guests, gifts to the church. You know, we have today a tremendous gift. As your pastor, I am overwhelmingly honored to bring this man of God to this house. You know, we're in the middle of a cornfield in Horseheads, New York. Turn to somebody and say, Horseheads, New York. Yes. It's exciting to see who God brings to us. In the next few weeks, Brother Evan Zini will be in Indonesia, Malaysia. He'll be preaching to churches between 20 and 30,000 people at a clip. But this week, he's our gift. Amen? This is our gift. We get this moment. And this is the principle, is that even if you have a well, you always want to drop a pail in the well to draw out the water. You can stare at the well all you want. You're going to remain thirsty. You can even look over the edge and see the water and drop a pebble and see the ripples. You'll still be thirsty. But until you drop your bucket, until you start drawing yourself, you are going to remain thirsty. But what Jesus said is that if you drink of the Holy Ghost, amen, you drink of the living waters that flow out of the innermost part, you will never thirst again. And the exciting part is we all get to have the opportunity to have this gift in this house, and we can draw, amen. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll be wise enough to draw in the Spirit from the words that he has been preaching for over 62 years. 62 years. He's been preaching the gospel for 62 years. Dear Lord, that is exciting, isn't it? One thing I've always found is that God doesn't bring in small equipment for small vision. God always brings in big equipment for big vision. Because when you're putting up a skyscraper, you can't bring in a little D2, a small little bulldozer. You got to bring in those big ones. You know those wheels that are bigger than your house in those big dump trucks? We have one of those gifts in this house this week. And you don't know him maybe, but dear Lord, your pastor is overwhelmed that today he's standing in the pulpit at his Tabernacle Family Church. Now, there's no question, all glory goes to Jesus, amen? But the gift has been sent to us by Jesus. And today, I pray that we're wise enough to deposit, receive the deposit. If you have a bank account, I have less than 30 seconds. You have a bank account. If you put nothing in the bank, how much do you have to withdraw? So when you come to the house of God, there's a deposit from the man of God every Sunday. And this deposit that we're getting this morning is gold nuggets. Amen. Make a deposit in your spirit so that when it's time to withdraw, you'll have something in the bank. Amen. So if you'll welcome me to the pulpit of His Tabernacle Family Church, Dr. John Avanzini.
I want you to help me get started right this morning. Now, I'm from Texas. Well, I'm born in South America, but I'm from Texas, and we talk a little slower there. I usually have to slow the waitresses down when they start telling me what the special is. But I'm going to ask you to say something for me to your neighbor, but I want you to give it a little Texas. I want you to tell him, Brother John thinks you look real nice. Now, don't go there. Nice. Brother John thinks you look real nice. Give him some nice today. Praise God. Would you do that for me? Yeah. Brother John thinks you look real nice. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am thoroughly impressed with your pastors, with the staff members here. All the reports that I've received have been less than what I come to find. Brother Rick Thomas, Bishop Thomas, he spoke highly of you. I came, but beyond my expectations, you are a wonderful people. I believe that you stand at the threshold of some of the most exciting days that this city has ever seen. Amen. You know, I find something in the 81 years of my life, probably from about 7, 8 years old, I started remembering things. But I want to tell you that in the church, which I've been all of my life, we suffer from a problem that is suffered by in the earth, in the world. Words get worn out. Have you ever noticed how a word can lose its meaning? Like the word cool. For instance, now if something's cool, it means it's hot. But and all these, every part of life, there's words that will wear out or get new meanings. There's a verse, and I didn't give this in the group of verses, but run it up if you can, please. Hebrews 2 and 18 in the King James. Hebrews 2, 18 in the King James. Is it up yet at this time? Well, when it is, you'll see it. For in that he, Jesus, himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, how many of you know that someone suckers you today. You just make a sucker out of you. That's not a very good word. But it meant, it's an old nautical term, and it meant that a large ship passing by, a smaller ship that would be in distress, would take lines out to it, and then they would sucker it, was the word. They'd draw it up to the side and bring it out of the storm water to safety. But today, if you tell people, Jesus really wants to make a sucker out of you, or Jesus wants to sucker you, your computer just starts running and going every which direction. So I have a lesson that I'm going to be teaching you today, a body of truth. I know how to preach. Preaching, though, I find best for lost people. Teaching is best for saved people. Now, I understand this is a church. You believe the Bible. You're a Bible-believing church. Am I correct in that? Okay, I assume that's everyone. You probably have an atmosphere here that non-believers probably would not be comfortable with for a long time and would drift along to some place maybe where there was more the kind of message that they would be interested in. But today, I'm going to bring you some information that has to do with a word that has taken on a new meaning, and it is a word that draws confusion in Christians' minds. It draws some away. It brings forth the wrong message. But to teach it, I'm going to go from one end of the Bible to the other. So I've done this in 3 hours, but it was tight then. So let me begin, please. God wants increase for all of his children. Say increase.
Increase.
And this truth is all through God's word. The psalmist in Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So we come to find that God is really involved in wanting you to increase. It's, you know, I made this statement, and it excited Pastor's wife, and I think she repeated it already, but God never rewarded anybody with poverty. And if God wanted his children to be poor, he surely would want them to, if they did a great job, that they would be lacking in almost every part of their life. But God promises increase, continuously promises increase. And in this passage of Scripture I read next, you'll see it again. The Apostle Paul said it in Romans 8, 31-32. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, how shall we also not by him also freely be given all things?" What God says is, what Paul said is, if he's already given his son for you, what is there that would be more valuable than that? If you said, you know, we got three kids, I'd like to have a three-bedroom house, and four-bedroom house, is God going to say, now, I gave you Jesus, but now a three-bedroom house is out of the question. Can't do that. Now, he's already given you the most precious thing. So everything below that now becomes what God would easily give to you. And you go a little bit further when you talk about increase. We see in Genesis, the first words, and I'm going to put these glasses on, and I'm going to put this microphone right here. I'm not used to holding a microphone. But anyway, when you see Genesis 1:26, the first thing God says, Adam is created, he's there, God breathes life into him, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply." The first thing God says as Adam opens his eyes in this marvelous place, the garden, nothing more beautiful than that, the first thing he sees and the first word God says is, "You can have more. You can make this thing twice as big, son. We can really, really do a job of increase if you'll follow my instructions." And I want to go with you to Adam and Eve now. And there is a principle in God's Word. And that principle is that God expects us to share our increase with Him. If there's no increase, He doesn't expect anything from you. But if you have increase, God wants to share in the increase. In the Garden of Eden, there was this great garden. Everything in it could be eaten from by Adam and Eve. But there was one plant in the midst of that garden. They bestowed labor upon it, but they were not allowed to eat of it because it was God's share of the increase. Are you grasping what I'm saying? In that second chapter of Genesis, the 15th verse, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We find here that's labor intensive. He's expending labor on all these plants. But then God says, and the Lord commended him in the 16th verse, the man saying, every tree in the garden thou must freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now watch, there is a lot of information given there, but the one thing we see is increase is taking place, and there's one of those trees, they're bestowing labor on it, but they don't take of that fruit, because as the increase comes, God wants to share in the increase. Do you think there's anything wrong? Does it seem unreasonable for God to share in any increase that He brings in your life? Down in Texas, it's like this is kind of yes and this is no. Does that seem unreasonable to you that if God would increase you, that you would have a share that you would give back to God? Seem reasonable? About 50% of you thought that would be reasonable. Try one more time. How many of you think it'd be reasonable? Yeah. Hey, there you go. That's the way to do it. Now, in this, what we just saw, we see a portion of that which they bestowed labor on. They worked on that tree. They pruned it. They brought water to it. They did all kind of things. But there was a tree in the midst of that garden that portion, that was God's portion of the increase, and that's what they called it. There was no other name for it. You can search through the Bible. You have to go about 2,500 years into the Bible before you first hear any definite word as to what the name is that God gave to that principle of sharing the increase. Now, go a little bit further with me. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. And there's not a whole lot of things said about them that's... You know, you don't hear a lot about what great parents they were or the accomplishments in Adam and Eve's lives. We do know they got us into a problem by eating of the forbidden fruit. But now watch this. They brought up two boys that absolutely understood that when you had increase, you shared it with the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting that I thought they're pretty good parents. I wish we had more parents like that. That could bring up children that would share the increase that God brings into their life, that they would share back with God a portion of that increase. In Genesis 4, 3 and 4, the Bible says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect, it says, to one and didn't have respect to the other. There are issues in the way that they gave. But the thing that I see that is so important, that those two first sons brought forth from the first man and the woman, Adam and Eve, those first two children, they had it inside of them that when increase took place, it had a portion of it had to go to God because they realized that without the blessings of God, they could have no increase. If anybody ever asks you, what good do you know that Adam and Eve did? Well, they raised two boys that knew how to share their increase back with God, and that put them in about a 5% group of all the people in the earth today, all the Christians in the earth today. Small bunch that does that. But both brought their increase to the Lord, a portion of it. Now, Noah. We move over to Noah, and time is passing now, and a great flood comes, And Noah is given instructions that he's supposed to stop his farming business. He's to go into a boat building business. And now for a number of years, he builds this tremendous boat. And as he loads it, Genesis 7, the first three verses says, "And the Lord God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen righteous, you've been righteous before me." Forgive me for stumbling right now. I'm trying. I broke the other glasses. "Thou shalt take you shall take the clean beast," he tells them, "sevens by sevens, and you'll take the unclean beast by twos." And he fills the ark with all these animals. And when the ark lands, and now all the animals come off, here's something that happened with Noah. He went from being a boat builder to being a farmer. And as he became a farmer, now in that new place, he now owns all of the breed stock in the earth. He's the richest man in the world. He had some carpenter tools when he got on the boat. When he got off the boat, he had the whole market cornered on everything that could be eaten. Tremendous increase came into his hands. And you see in the 8th chapter and the 20th verse, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering upon the altar." Now, if you can picture this, this is all of the breed stock in the earth, seven of each of the clean animals. And now he lands, and all of a sudden, the one that only had some carpenter tools now owns all of this most valuable thing, all of the animals that man is free to eat, the breed stock of all of the animals that would be able to be eaten, that was clean to be eaten. And he knows he's had an increase, and he gives 1/7 of all of the breed stock. He gives it to the Lord in the beginning of this new time after the flood. Are you picking up what I'm saying to you? He could say, "Oh, well, they're just out there, those animals." No, he had those animals. He now had come into increase, and the first thing he does is he starts a big fire, gets an altar going, and he begins to give forth 1/7 of the breed stock of the earth. He gives to God, and then God says, "I smell a sweet savor coming up, and in that sweet savor, I will no longer ever again bring a flood upon the earth." Is anybody picking up on what I'm saying? Now, please know, there's a lot of different things I could be talking about, but I know one thing about your church here in the spirit realm. You have been standing at a gate for a number of years waiting to move, but there is a next step you're going to have to take, because God is not going to rewrite his book of principles to make it possible for you to become all that God wants you to be. I've listened very closely as pastors describe the organizational, how you're organized. He's explained to me how you outreach into the community. He's explained how the people are involved and fall in readily to the work. But I tell you, there's something that's going to have to come into order, because you will not believe what's going to happen in this house if you can just get this house under the open heaven conditions that God wants it to be. Amen. Let me show you how important where you are now, and I take just a moment. Did you know that every one of you has Jesus in them? Do you know that? But now, watch something. But the Bible says any time that two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Now, you know all of the spooky types, soothsayers and witches and all that crowd. They're always talking about a portal. Well, child of God, there's something so unique happened this morning. If you really grasp it, we would shudder. Because God says, not only is Christ in you, but when you came in this door, a portal was set up. Heaven opened, and Jesus Christ walks in our midst right now. He's not just in us. He's not just in us, but now he's with us. And then notice this. When you come to portals, and men look everywhere for portals, you go down into Puerto Rico, where is the lowest, the gravity at Puerto Rico is less than anywhere else on planet Earth. And culture stacked one on top of the other there, thinking there's a portal there where they might get through. But you personally, even if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a portal, because he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will bring forth. See, what you're going to have to realize it when you come in this house, you have an event like the fourth man in the fire. You have an event like the fourth man in the fire, because if you stepped out this door right now, this spirit would not be there. If you went into this hall, this spirit would not be here. But when the body is assembled in his name, and I'm just taking a minute off of what I need to teach, but you got to grasp what's going on here. This is, yes, it's a good time. Sing, have a good time. Eat, have a good time. Just enjoy yourselves. But understand this, that you have moved from the natural into the supernatural. When three or more of you are together in my name, he says, I'm right there with you. Now, the things that God's ready to do, is this good for drinking? Excuse me. I was in a church one time, just picked up a glass of water and drank it. Found out I drunk up the whole baptistry. Anyway. Now, if you're picking up what I'm saying to you, something is waiting to happen here. Something is pressing upon you. Even as I went out, we drove out and I said, oh, you're in stock time. Yeah, what's that mean? Did you know that before the harvest comes, the whole thing looks like it died? The whole thing looks like it died? I'm telling you, God, there's some harvests that are just waiting to be loosed into this house when a couple of things get in order. One of them is, as God releases the wealth that he wants to release into your hands, there has to be an understanding of some kind that if he increases you, he will have an opportunity to share in that increase. Is that unreasonable? Is that unreasonable at all? If someone here could just, this very year, easily a new house could come into someone's possession, totally paid for. But now if that happened, wouldn't you feel that you'd have to share something back with God? Or if you had a mortgage on your house and that mortgage was paid off, wouldn't you feel that? Wouldn't you feel that some share of that benefit should go back to God? I feel a lot of things when I'm here, but I've not felt a feeling of ungratitude. But maybe there's just misunderstanding. Maybe we're dealing with a word like suckered, that the meaning has changed and it causes us not to do what God wants us to do. Are we okay? Let's look a little bit further. Now, after Noah shares, we come to find that 2,500 years pass, and we come to Abraham. All these years, and this process of sharing the increase has not been given a name. And then God sends, now watch this, God sends Jesus Christ to give that process a name. It wasn't a group of rabbis that were trying to figure out a way to meet the budget, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself is sent into the earth in the form of Melchizedek, and this thing of sharing the increase for the first time, 2,500 years into, from the time of Adam and Eve, now God is setting up Abraham and the seed of Abraham, and it has to be very clear, because these people that are the seed of Abraham are going to eventually take over the world, and they're going to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Are you picking up here? And Melchizedek himself comes. Jesus Christ in the form of Melchizedek comes. Think with me a little bit. Let me read you a scripture. Whenever you get over into the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and let me read to you here who this Melchizedek is. 7th chapter, 1st verse. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, him being all first being interpreted king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So this person that meets with Abraham, Melchizedek, when he comes from the slaughter of the kings, that Melchizedek is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So please know, we're going to deal with this word that causes so much trouble in the church, but I want you to be clear. There was no denominational headquarters that came up with it. There was no council of rabbis that came up with it. There was no, they didn't even cast lots to see what word we might use. But God came, and that process of sharing the increase with God that he gives us, he himself, the Lord Jesus, comes, and he brings forth the name, and the name, you've probably figured out by now, that word tithe. And that word tithe takes and shakes people up as bad as if you called the person a sucker today. Say, I want to come over and sucker you. Oh, get out of here. What you've said, I want to come over and give you some assistance. But the word tithe has now just shaken people totally up, because Satan knows that the church that tithes is an open heaven church, and open heaven churches, miraculous things. If you get an open heaven church, you can have a blind person walk in and one of your kids reach out and touch them and their eyes could snap open. Listen, this room, when you're gathered together in this, see, you don't even catch. He's here with us, not just in us, but another dimension walking in our midst. This is a house where nothing is impossible if the heaven is open and all of the power of God is moving in this house. Are you grasping this? Now, watch with me, please. I know I'm dealing with something that the devil has done a job on. But watch. We're a body. Aren't we a body? Is this a body? Well, you know, if I came up here and you said, how are you, Brother John? I said, I'm doing fine. I'm great. Wonderful. Well, my foot's got cancer, but I'm great. If your foot's got cancer, you've got cancer. You understand? So if you're a body, and some of you tithe, and some of you don't, this is a body that is partially under a closed heaven. If you've got 50% tithers and 50% non-tithers, you're 50% under a closed heaven and 50% under an open heaven. Can you grasp what I'm saying to you? Can you take and put religion aside for a minute and just take what God says and get the picture of what's going on? You folks are the great hope of this city. You are the hope of this nation. People just like you coming to understand that it's not a natural event that happened when you walked in that door, but when that opening prayer took place, bang, a supernatural dimension took place, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself came into this room and is walking in the midst of us and wanting to do signs and wonders, but the limitations come from us. But let me go further with this word and get it into your spirit, what really is going on. Is it okay for me to have this microphone here? Okay. Now, when you get into Genesis 14 and verse 8 through 20, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means prince of Salem being peace, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hands. And Abraham gave tithes of all. The New Living Testament says, and Melchizedek collected the tithe of all. Are you picking up what I'm saying now to you? Something new's happening. The world as it was has now had a flood, and it has been brought down to a whole lot smaller group of people. Now then, here we're going to Abraham. And Abraham again is going to bring forth a smaller group of people again. He's going to bring forth a seed, it says. And if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. We have promises of wealth that the church has been talked out of. The church has been talked out of it. Are you grasping what I'm saying? My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Have you heard that? You know that word according isn't talking about quantity. It's talking about quality. What it says, God wants to supply all of your needs in the same caliber of things like he has in heaven. God wants, see, we don't even realize it, but you're kings and priests. You're royal ambassadors. You grasp, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. We get caught in the picture of what the devil wants to say that we are, but we are royal ambassadors coming into this house to bring forth the miraculous dimension into this city. This city can have the dead raised when the time is right. The sick can be healed. Marriages can be put back together. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? All of this mess that the secular humanists have got us into, we can get out, but you can't do it under a partially closed heaven. Because let me say this. The devil's crowd is not working at half speed. It is full bore at this day as the secularists are wanting to take Jesus Christ, God, everything about him, out of this nation, out of the schools and everywhere. But there's still some things that can be done here. I'm hearing that you have ethics taught in the public school out of your church. Let me tell you. I've never heard that before across this nation in the last 10 years. Not heard anything like it. God loves you. God has a plan for you. God wants to take this part of the world and make it a shining city on a hill to show Christians how it can really be. But you have to give God. You have to give God that. Don't tie one hand behind his back. But understand, if you are going to be recipients of the increase that God is ready to pour into this house, there's going to have to be an understanding that you will share the increase back with God. Now, in this time with Abraham, we come to find that there was set not only what the name would be, it would be the tithe, but also the amount. Abraham gave a tenth. So we come to find that this word, after you realize what it really is, and it's not just, hey, we got a tithe, you got a tithe, everybody here is going to tithe. No, this is the name of something that Jesus Christ introduced into the earth. It's not political. It is not part of the business. It's part of something that Jesus himself spoke. And then we also know, Brother John, you know, I don't think tithing's for today. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm a Baptist preacher that started speaking in tongues because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm a Baptist preacher that started laying hands on the sick because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I tithe because Jesus Christ brought it up, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on his thing, but I'll show you more from the scripture. Am I aggravating you? Is it okay to go? Are you all right? You're so quiet. Anyway, stay quiet, but listen. Now, go a little bit further with it. I have people that will say, well, tithing, Brother John, was in the law. Tithing was with the law, and we're no longer under the curse of the law. Well, watch with me, please, because in Galatians 3:17, and this I say that the covenant, this is speaking of the time of Abraham, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul and make it the promise of no effect. 430 years after Melchizedek declared that there would be a tithe, then the law came in. Tithing didn't come from the law. Tithing was incorporated into the law. And it moved along. But watch, I'm going to show you the tithe in the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. It never stops. It never stops. Now watch a little further with me. in Leviticus 27, 30 and 32, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, is holy unto the Lord, 31st verse, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flocks, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now watch, this is 470 years later. The law comes in, but the law now, tithing was already brought by Melchizedek. Please, if you can't catch this, then anybody could have come and told you what you're hearing today. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was the one that came from heaven, just like he came for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, just like he one day wrote on the wall of Nebuchadnezzar. It's called a theophanies. He came in the form of a theophanies and had dinner with Abraham and said, "Dinner, this Abraham, this sharing of the increase, we're not going to just leave it random now. I'm going to quantify it and qualify it. I'm going to call it the tithe. We'll call it the tenth, and 10% will come to the Lord." Now, please know that was not a decision of men. And that was not a decision that came in the law. That is not a decision that in just a little bit, at the cross, I'm going to show you people tithing. 32 years after the death of Christ, the Bible records tithing taking place. Church, it's a legitimate part of being a Christian today. Are we learning anything?
Yes.
Let's go a little bit further. Jesus, in his day here upon the earth, he approved and emphasized the tithe. When you come to Luke 11, 42, he's rebuking the Pharisees. He says, "Woe unto you, you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done." This tithing you ought to have done and not leave the other undone. So all the way into the New Testament area. Where have we been? We're in the Garden of Eden. We're sharing the increase. We come down through time. The boys, sons, sharing the increase. We come on down to Abraham, sharing the to Noah, sharing the increase. You just continue to see if God increases, every time he increases in the word, they share back to God a portion that he, of what he gave them. Now then, we're into the New Testament. And people, you know, here, then Jesus speaks up a second time about the tithe. Once as Melchizedek, now as Jesus. He said, "You tithe of just the least little thing, your little garden that you take a leaf here and you'll take a tenth of it and you'll give it. That's good, fine. That you ought to do. You ought to tithe, but not leave the other undone." Okay? Now, Jesus dies on the cross. And now we come into a new era, a new era. It's called the church age. And then in Hebrews 7 and 8, now, Hebrews verse 7, chapter 7, verse 8, "And here," the writer says, "and here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is written that he liveth." Now, when he says "and here," he means right here and now, 70 A.D., 35 years into the New Testament. Now, don't let people tell you tithing was Old Testament. It's not New Testament. And by the way, please, if you know, I've had people say, "Brother John, I'm not under the law. Don't put that curse of the tithe on me. There's no curse on me." Ah, tell it to Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah. Don't bring that to me. Go tell Simon the sorcerer, "Son, you're laying around here blind for no reason at all." I mean, we're dealing with just as much of a truth is that Jesus, that the blood is necessary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you grasping that? And this thing, it has just been part of what belongs with a relationship with God, is that as he gives you increase, you need to share it with him. "Well, Brother John, I'm doing okay, and I never have tithed." Our God is a merciful God. But let me tell you, here's when it'll make a difference. It's not when you're paying your bills. It's not whenever all of it, you're non-tither and you say, well, everything's good. Look at my nice house. I got a country house. I got money in the bank. Everything's great. I tell you when you know is when you're standing in an emergency room with a grandbaby and the death angel is standing at the door asking for his due, and you now have to stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, leave that baby alone. Try to do that under an open heaven or under a closed heaven, and you'll see how much difference there will be. Are you tithing and being under an open heaven? Wonderful things. I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I have a vacation house. I have everything that I could want. Thank God. My retirement is funded. My children's inheritance is in hand, and my great grandchildren's children. All those inheritances are set. Money is set. It's in my will right now. God has given me that money, but I'm telling you, that's not what it's about. It's about when I have my wife dying, or they told us like a few years ago, your wife's got Alzheimer's. She finally couldn't hardly tell you where she was at, but today she's in her right mind preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? That stuff doesn't come from under a closed heaven. Doesn't come from a closed heaven. When you can speak a word and have it come to pass. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? But let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. Now we've passed through into the 35 A.D. That's 35 years into the New Testament. And they're still tithing. I'll read it to you again. Hebrews 7:8. It was written in 70 to 80 A.D. is when the book of Hebrews was written. And it says, and here, right now, here and now, men that die receive tithes. But there, back in the day of Melchizedek, he received tithes of whom it is written that he liveth. Now, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I here? I got plenty of places to be. I will be 8 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow morning, I'll have to be on an airplane headed to another part of the world. And a week later, I'll be on my way into Asia. Why am I here? Well, your Bishop Thomas said, John, there's something got to change up there in Horse's Head. Is that what they call you? Horse's Heads? Heads? Horse's Heads. It's better than be called a horse's tail, I'll tell you that. But he said, Brother John, that church is like a rocket out at Cape Canaveral sitting on the stand. Everything's go, but the fire... engine won't light. Engine won't light. He said, there's got to be a tithing breakthrough down there. If anybody can do it, he said, you go down there and just teach it. Just teach it plain. He said, they're not hostile. They'll listen to you. And if you bring it from the Bible, they'll believe it. Now, that's what your bishop thinks of you. If you bring it from the Bible, they'll believe it. So now, here we are. And God says in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And I've had people say, well, God doesn't really like to be tested. He has to be tested all the time. He says, taste and see that I'm good. give and see if I won't give it back to you. And then he says, in that tithe, he says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. A blessing. Now watch. Won't pour you out blessings. These are blessings. There's a blessing. The blessings are things. But he'll pour out the blessing. The blessing is a divine enabling to prosper. A divine enabling to prosper. God says he will pour out the blessing. And you're not going to walk out with a bunch of gifts, but you're going to walk out with a power in your life. Are you grasping? Now watch this. But Brother John, what difference does it matter? I tithe. I don't tithe. Someone else says, I'm not hindering anybody. Look, we're a body. When one is honored, we're all honored. When one suffers, we all suffer. There is no such a thing as a body that's maybe under the uncover, maybe undercover, under an open heaven, and maybe not. As a people, I ask you, put God to the test. You have just finished the year of generosity. How many of you are better off now than you were last year? How many of you are 5-10 times better? That's good. I see this year as the open heaven year in this church. I see you as a people making up your mind that increase will be shared with God. Keep your old wealth, stack it back, mark it so it can't get mixed up with the new stuff. But start tithing and you see how God will open this thing up. And you say, how come you saying that, Brother John? He said, prove me now herewith. Prove me now herewith and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Let me give you just one more verse of scripture. When you get all the way into the new test, into the new heaven and the new earth, Revelations 21, 23 through 26. And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor. That word, glory and honor, means their splendid wealth. Their splendid wealth into it. And the gates of it shall not be closed, not shut by, at all by day. For there shall be no light there, no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. 27th verse. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth or neither worketh abomination. Child of God, from the first word God speaks about man, he speaks about sharing the increase. Every point through time, sharing the increase, sharing the increase. He did it 470 years before the law, so there couldn't be any confusion about it. This was a project that God had going. He goes all the way through, comes into the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself says, this ought you to do. Now, a lot of people say, you're coming now into the church age, and the church age, they're not supposed to tithe. 35 years in, one of the local churches, the Hebrews, the people of the Hebrews, they were receiving tithes 35 years into the New Testament. And then in the new heaven and the new earth, and I can't explain it, but we're still bringing splendor and glory, and we're bringing it into the Lord God. I say this, if you can't see the righteousness in sharing your increase with God, my Lord, what's going on? And I've had said people, oh, 10%, I'll give much more than 10%. That's okay, that's fine. But do what God says. And I want to prove him this time. I just want to put this before you. If you can just take and prove God 1 year, 1 year, if you will say, Brother John, I will share my increase, and I'll share it the way Melchizedek said to do it. I'll give 10% of it, of all my increase. I'll give it to the Lord. Just try it for 1 year, and I will guarantee you, you will not have building to contain what's going on here. You will not have building to contain what's going on here. Because let me tell you, the opposition to the church, it's big budget time. I mean, look at the play parks that they have. Look at these computer games that they have, simulated reality and in the different instruments that they now have online. Anything you want, the best of everything, the most brilliant things, beautiful cars, beautiful hotels, beautiful play parks, everything. Everything that the devil is doing now, he's doing in opulence. And the church can do it better, but we can't. Are you grasping? I've come with this in my heart. I'm going to ask you to try God. Just try God. Just try God and say, Lord, I'll share the increase. Doesn't want any of what you have. Not trying to get in your wallet. Not trying to get in your bank account. That's between you and God, that part. But God has made a strict rule, something that can depend on. I'm in a church. In that church, I'm depending on the people around me to care as much about the open heaven as I do. And what I'm going to ask you to do now, I want everyone to have an envelope in their hand. Would you just take an envelope in your hand? Everyone with an envelope. Now, this is a turning point. I already feel it. There's a turning point taking place right now. Now, be careful, because from all over the district, devils are coming into the room trying to talk you out of what God's about to do here. Everyone has an envelope. Everyone with an envelope. If you don't have an envelope, lift your hands. Wave your hand. They'll get you one. Ushers, pass them right out. They're free. Just quickly. If you don't have an envelope, wave at me, please. Here's what I'm going to simply ask you to do. I'm going to simply ask you to put your name, your address, whatever little bit of information there. I don't want you to put any money in this. I'm not going to ask you to put one penny in this. What I'm going to ask you to do is commit. As for me and my house, use these words, Pastor, as for me and my house, this year we tithe. This year we tithe. Can you do that? Can you say, God, I share the increase. I will be a tither. Would you just your name, your address? You're not putting anything in the envelope. You're not anything to do with this week's paycheck, having to do next week. Whatever comes into your life from this point on, you say, God, I'll share. I'll share a tenth of it with you. You show yourself to me. I'm believing you. I'm trusting you. You know, there was a time that you said, yes, Lord, I'll accept you as Savior. You trusted the blood. You saw it work. There was a time you said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You trusted the Word, and it happened to you. Lord, I'd like my son to be saved. You trusted the Word, the son got saved. Now you're just saying, God, I see this stream that runs through the Bible from one end to the other, this stream of people sharing the increase. And from this day, 1 year, I'll put this. If it doesn't work for you, just forget it. Don't do it anymore. But I've never had anybody that's turned away from it that was faithful to it. So, would you just pay and your name and the little details there. And on the back of it, just want you to write these words. Pastor, I will tithe for a year. Just Pastor, I will tithe for a year. Can you do that all over the room? Pastor, I will tithe for a year. Some of you say, but well, you know, I don't like to make commitments like that. Oh, you do. You sign your name to everything else. I mean, all you know, all the commitments you made, you're afraid now that the hackers will get in there and get your name and sign you up to stuff. Pastor, from this day on, I tithe. Pastor, from this day on, I tithe. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Just sign your name to it. Just sign your name to it. But John, I don't do that. Oh, you do. You do it everywhere. Your name's on an automobile loan. Your name's on a house loan. Your name's on every kind of thing you got your name on. This is the house of God, and we're opening up a new day. Pastor, are you peaceful with everything? We're opening up a new day. A new day. Now watch this. 1 year from today, there'll be such a change in this house. There will be such a change at your house. Some of you with two or three kids trying to make it in a two-bedroom house, you'll be in a three, four-bedroom house. Some of you that are driving these fugitives from the wrecking yard, you'll have a real car. You'll have a real car. Some of you girls, mamas, you got babies, and you what would you need? Well, you're looking for a husband. We don't hide it. God can open the door on the right man. Boy, you better have God's will today on the right man. You might need the right woman. I mean, look for living an open heaven life for a year, comfortably knowing that everyone around you is. And I just take one more minute. I tell you, this is I'm supposed to be done in just a minute. How many would come in a room like this if an officer of the law came in and said, there's a bank robber loose and we think he's here? Why, we'd be just a bank robber. My God, and you come right in, sit right down to a house full of God robbers. Are you hearing me? I know why a bank robber robs something. He needs food or his kids or something. But I don't understand how we could take a God that promised 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, that you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You'll be exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask. Here's what I want you to do. Did you get it written? Would you just rapidly, because I've used too much time, could you rapidly just come and bring it to the altar and lay it on the altar? And pastor's going to pray over this. Pastor's going to pray over this for the whole year. The whole year. Look out, devil! Look out, devil! Look out, devil! Look out, devil! Woo! Look out, devil! Look out, devil! My mercy! The devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. Just keep coming. Just roll up quick as you can. Pastor's going to have these at the place that he prays. They will be prayed over every day. Every day he's going to be praying for you in this proving God with the tithe. Proving God with the tithe. Come right ahead. Come right ahead. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Pastors, come be with me. We're going to walk by. We're going to pray quickly over these.
Peaceful with everything. Oh, absolutely.
Still coming. Still coming. Now that's a whole lot more. I bet you that's 80%. Hold on. We're going to pray the prayer. Just another minute. You're still going to beat the Presbyterians to Denny's. Let's pray over this, Pastor. Let's take hands. I'm going to pray and I'm going to have you pray, sir. Father, I thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can do a job that committees can't do. It can do a job that special publishing companies can't do. It can move. It can move the children of God into truth. And we now have these people committed to tithe. And I speak, it comes exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask or think, and that this becomes a sign to other churches in this area that our God wants to share in the increase, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that, Lord, any subpoena from hell to try to hold people back will be broken. That, Father, open heaven to every believer that's in this room in Jesus' name. God, we declare that you will withhold no good thing from those who love you. We declare, God, that you will bless us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. And Father, I pray and thank you that, Lord, you are faithful and true to your word. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. God, we thank you that your word is clear to us, and that, Lord, no matter what the enemy tries to do, we will always be thwarted. He will come at us one way and will flee seven. And we declare, Jesus, blessing upon your people, blessing upon your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest tithe you can give is your life. Amen. So if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I'm going to have Mindy stand right up over in this corner. We've changed sides. Have you noticed that for salvations? We're over on this side. If you need Jesus as your Savior, if you'll come right on up front as we dismiss the service, grab a Bible, have Mindy pray with you. I want you to know that all these that are up at the front will be in my man cave. And every morning I'm going to be praying God's release and open heaven to your life. That's the word of the Lord. Do you want to know why that I have great confidence in what was just preached? Because I don't care who you are, you can't deny the word. And the word is truth. and the truth shall make you free. Allow the word to make you free. If you're riled up about this message, talk to Jesus. Amen. You've all heard of Joel Osteen, but many of you have never heard of Daddy Osteen. Daddy Osteen was a Baptist preacher who got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. He ended up writing a book, you know what it's called, about the baptism? Just Blame Jesus. And I want you to know that if you will invoke the word and the will of God, I can't wait to see the promises that have been prophesied over this house to come true, not only here, but in your personal lives. We declare increase in Jesus' name. I love you. Let's all stand. My wife's going to release a blessing as we leave.
Father, we thank you so much for your word that we've already spoken and declared that does not return void. So we celebrate as we leave today that your word shall accomplish exactly what it was sent to do in our lives today. So we celebrate and we thank you for it already. We thank you for the open heaven. We thank you for increase. We thank you that this year shall be like none other. We love you, God. We adore you and we worship you in your precious name. We release a blessing over every single person in this house today as they go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Have an awesome day.